So, yeah, before we move on to Gimel Amud Aleph, which is our next destination, so there's one more very interesting issue that I would like to discuss. And this is connected to Dav Beis Amud Aleph and also to Dav Dalid Amud Aleph. Again, we sometimes end up going a little bit out of order. So we've done some things on Beis Amud Aleph, Beis Amud Beis, and actually Dalid Amud Aleph we've done most of. So let's just get back to where we were for a minute. In the Mishnah, this is very relevant to what we've been discussing, of course, but the Mishnah says, and we discussed one aspect of this very thoroughly, that there's a factor of minag hamedina when it comes to the building of this wall. In other words, if indeed there is dissolution of a partnership and therefore the need to build a wall on the border between the new neighbors, former partners. So then the question is, what about the, the material that will be used in the construction of this wall? What about the size of the bricks and all of that? Like, what's all that about? So even when you say it casually, it sounds to me, at least, and I've been living with this for quite a while, it sounds a little peculiar. Like, you would not have thought, frankly, that the halacha would be involved in that kind of nitty-gritty. It's one thing to say that when there is vulnerability and you need to secure privacy, that the law is everybody has a financial responsibility to protect each other. That's a great halacha. That's already very hands-on, you could say. The halacha is really regulating Jewish society and projecting its values, and imposing norms that are consistent with that. But do we really need but I guess it's a privilege. But what I'm saying is it's a little bit surprising that the halacha really cares so much about the details, right? So if you look at the Mishnah, again, we've discussed this before. So the Mishnah says, Shulfin Shavatz Asim Achitza B'chatzer, Bonin Sakosa B'yamtza, Mokom Shinagu Livnos, this is a place where typically they build Gvil, Gazes, Kvisin, Levainin. These are all different types of materials. So the din is Bonin, Hakol, Kamina, Gamadina. But it doesn't even end there. Then it goes to Gvil, right? Zenos and Gimel Tvachim, Zenos. If it's Gvil, each one, it's 6 Tvachim combined. Gazis, it's 5 Tvachim, combined. Kvisin, it's 4 Tvachim combined. Levenim, it's 3 Tvachim combined, right? So I'm just saying this is an incredible amount of detail. So, why does the halacha really enter into that level of nitty-gritty? And the question is twofold, meaning the smaller question is why specify, why not just say HaKolofia Minaga Medina? And then, we can all, look up what the local community codes, are. And I'm sure we'd all like to be, compliant with those regulations, right? But, right. So why do we need to specify? But the bigger question is, why are there standards at all? I'm just going to raise the big question first. After all, why are we building this wall? We're building the wall because there is a problem that needs a solution. It needs a remedy. The problem is privacy. So privacy is a visual issue. So as long as we discussed when we were talking about Gina and Shita Sarama, and Rama is a unique Shita that when it comes to a Gina, the wall only has to be 10 Tfachim high and not 4 Amos high. And, that's a problem. That doesn't make sense because Hezekriya is about the size. Okay, last week we talked about the principle in the Gemara and Dav Beis Amud Beis where the Gemara says Nafal Shaini, that even if you didn't have to build a wall, if there was a wall, you would have to replace the wall. And then the Gemara says, but if it was, 6 Amos high, you only have to replace to 4 Amos because 4 Amos is really the shiur for most people of hesychria. Okay, great. So, but my point is, there's a reason for the wall, and the reason for the wall is also reflected in the height of the wall, you know, and so, and many other dinim that are very reasonable and very inspiring. But why do we care about what material the wall is made out of? And why do we care about the thickness of that material? In the end of the day, any material, if it isn't porous, if it's not glass or plastic, you know, or if it doesn't have big gaps, you know, in between, is going to accomplish the goal. Namely, it's going to neutralize the problem. So what do we care what material it's made from? And why do we care how thick it is? In the end of the day, let it be thick, let it be thin. Unless, and we'll see this in a moment, unless, you know, we were talking about something that was so flimsy, you know, that it's just, you know, not going to survive at all. And there's no confidence in it. So then it's not a solution, right? But assuming that whatever it is, you know, neutralizes hesychria, why does the halacha require or care about more? Why does it even enter into this whole discussion? That's a question that I wanted to raise. Now, the first question, why didn't the Mishnah just say hakol kumina gamadina without giving details about material or about specifications? That's a question the Rishonim already asked. Agav, when they asked that question, many of them, directly or indirectly, ended up getting involved in this bigger question that I'm asking. One more time, the bigger question being, if the mechayev of the wall, if the purpose of the wall is to prevent invasion of privacy, then why do we care about the materials of the wall or the thickness or any other standards of the wall? Okay, so that's what I'm interested in figuring out, and the Rishonim really join this question, and we'll see in a moment. Okay, so Tosis, let's start with Tosis. Again, remember a little bit of a hint already just before we get there. I said this Gemara is related to Dab Beis Amud Aleph and Dab Dalet Amud Aleph. Beis Amud Aleph because the language of the Mishnah. Dalet Amud Aleph, we already read. The Gemara says, partially asks the question. We discussed this already. The Gemara says, Hakol Kamina Gamadina, and the Gemara says, this is on Dalet Amud Aleph, Hakol Asuye Mai. What does the word hakol mean? What does it add? The Gemara says, La suye astra denihigi behutza v'dafna, to include a mokom, right, where they build, they typically build behutza v'dafna. Behutza v'dafna is some sort of, you know, vegetation. They use vegetation in order to build the wall. It's pretty flimsy. Okay. So, again, that's a chiddush, as long as it does the job. It's not porous, right? Okay. But it also raises the other question, and that is, what about less than Hutzavadafna, something even flimsier than that? So here we have a very big debate among the Rishon. So let's look at each, just a couple of the Shitos before we move on to the next topic. So Tosas here on Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil, Big Vil, Zenos and Gimel Tvachim. And again, we thank Zev, who did warn me to get it to him earlier. You know, being incorrigible, I wasn't able to do it. So I tried to get it earlier in the day, but he's very nice to do it. So I want to thank him. And it's a thank you for, you know, for all the other weeks that he puts himself out. But so we have it on our first page, the first Mar Makom, Bigvil Zenosan Gimel Tvachim. Okay. So Tosa says, Hadalo Kamar Bigvil Vav Tvachim, Delo Niti Lime Mar Vav Lekal Echad. Okay, good. That doesn't. That's not scintillating. Then Tosis asks the big question, Vim Tomar. Amai itzrich lemisne midas gvil v'gazis. Kivindatani hakol kamina gamadina kamoshinagu kenyasu. Why do we need the details if we've said kamina gamadina? Okay? So here Tosis says, we're just going to compare what Tosis says with other answers in a minute. Yeshlomar de'im nagu yosar mibav bigvil lo yasa. Tosis says there is a limit beyond which the requirement is no longer reasonable. And even if the community code requires thicker than six. In Gvil, the halacha says adka. That's important. So then you're wondering, if it isn't just Kamina Gamadina, and there are limits, like, you know, I'm not going to go so far, if the building codes are just, you know, draconian, you know, we're just not going to go along with it. Because, you know, you have to understand, of course, it's more of an expense, you know, to each party. So, in Nogu Yosem Yibab Gvil Lo Yasa, there's a limit. But that implies that until that point, right, it's reasonable. You don't need six tvachim, right, to, you know, to block my vision, right? V'chein kulam, ela kashir ha-mefurash. Not more than what's specified. What about less? We'll see in a moment. U'miyu imnogu lasos pachos mivav. Let's say the Mishnah says six. Let's say the minhag is to do five. Okay. Yase. So we're when it comes to thickness, says Tosas, we're makil, not machmir. Right? If the minhag is to do less than six, you can do less than six. If the minhag is to do more than six, you don't need to. In other words, we're coming out on the makil side of the spectrum when it comes to, okay, at least that. Frankly, we're not even sure why we're as machmir as we are, right?
Rabbi Rosenzweig, why are we only worried about Hezekiah? There's another privacy which is so important, which is sound. People are private when they talk. They don't want to hear the conversations of their fellow person, and therefore the thickness of the wall is a vitally important.
This is an outside wall.
Right, it's an outside wall, but you don't want your partner to necessarily hear your discussion.
It's an outside wall, which meaning, I'm not an engineer, but it doesn't go up to the ceiling.
Right, but there's much more privacy given. I could understand that. It is a form of hezek done by...
I mean, we did discuss there is a notion of, you know, noise pollution, also privacy noise. We've discussed that. I think I read the Meiri
a month
ago. But so I think it's a good point. But I think because it's outside, you know, and there are limits, you know, so I think, that's not the main consideration. Anyways, according to Tosas, very interestingly, when it comes to the dimensions, we are makil, not machmir. Miwam nagu lasas pakas mivav yasa da filo im nagu buhutza bedafne yasa kenim farish begamara. Okay. So then Tosis goes the other way. Vim tomar, my boy begamara hako kamina gamdini lasuye mai, mishani lasuye asra denehigi buhutza bedafna, lema lasuye kamina kola makomos kamosha nagu. Why do we limit it to hutza bedafna? In other words, once we are being makel, right, so let's say there's a place that has the minhag to do even less. Benuel Rabbeinu Tam, the dafka behutza v'dafna, aval pachos mikan, afilu nagu minhag lekhedjodhu, meaning there is a down a limit, you know, on the makil side as well. Before we said we're not going to be more machmir on the thickness than the Mishnah, but we will be more makil. Now we're talking about the material. We're saying if the material cannot be flimsier than Hutza V'dafna. If it's less than Hutza V'dafna, that's a minhag tos. And then Tosis adds for good measure, Umochiach mikan, the yesh minhagim, shein lismoch aleihem, afilo heched etnana, kol keminhag ha-medina. Even when we declare a principle, I call keminhag ha-medina, meaning it's not Yisur V'heter, and it's something which... it makes sense to go according to the community standards. Even then, you know, there are things that are excluded because they can be a minhag shtus or a minhag betos. We still have standards. So Tosis leaves us with a mixed picture, but hasn't answered our question at all or even hinted at the answer. Namely, what Tosis tells us is there are some cases where the minhag ha-medina, if it's more chomer, we're going to ignore it. There are other cases, if the minhag ha-medina is more makel, we're not going to allow it. In other words, this is within a certain range. And Tosis seems to be also distinguishing between the dimensions and the material so far. But Tosis hasn't told us what this is all about. Okay. So let's turn our attention to the Nebuka Yosef for a minute. I'm just going a little bit historically out of order. That's the next piece in the Mar Makomos, and it's in the back of the Gemara for those who don't have it. Hakol Kaminag Medina. Im Yesh Minag Bebinyan, Yivne Hakol Salazek Kaminag Medina. Okay. If there's a minag, then that should be respected in terms of this wall. In Gvil Gvilim Gazis Gazis Vechinkul. Aval Shiure Hakosel Berachava. He says, but when it comes to the, not the materials, but the width or the dimensions of the wall, Eino Toli Biminaga, that doesn't depend on the minag. Ela de Dina Hachi. Right? Those are the hard and fast requirements. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, the halacha. The minag determines the material, but the halacha demands the standards. Okay? The batzer mehacha, but finally, at least we have somebody telling us what this is about. The batzer mehachi kimlul rabbanan de lokoi. If it's smaller, then it won't stand. Okay, that sounds great, except for one thing. Is it really true? Really? I mean, it won't stand? So, of course, if the Mukhe Yosef, and he's drawing from earlier sources, if they say it, it's true. But the point I'm trying to make is there's something else going on here. Or there's something, when we say it's not going to last, like, what do we mean by that? Oh. Umishimhachi, I'll explain in a second. Herich Tana Lameimar says that's what's the arichos? Like, so much detail. Zenos and Gimel, Zenos and Gimel. They'll have a Lameimar, Lahako Kamina Gamadina. He should have just said whatever the custom is. The Nechsianon Minhaga Heichi. And we'll check and find out what the minhag is. Elashmiinon, Dimnog, Laharbo, Salamite, Bishir and Elu. Now, notice that while Tosas said when it comes to the dimensions, right, we could be Mako, but we can't be Machmir. So, with Tosas, it's hard to say the, Lokoi, because according to Tosas, you could do less, right? The Mukhi Yosef saying you can't play with these, not in either direction, right? Hareu Minag Tos. Minag Tos applies not only to the material, which is what Tosas said, less than Hutz of Adapna. It applies to the shiurim, and it applies in both directions. Why do you need such big, thick, bricks? Right. Finally, the Rishonim are asking the question. Oh, you just knew. You just need to block his vision. What do you need such a thick wall? So this is about, I quoted this from the Nebuka Yosef, it's a little bit easier to get access to. This is a quotation from the Ramban. Mishum dechayshinan shema yipol. We're afraid it might fall. Biyitzarech li'atzim imo bebezdin. And then they'll have to go back to court. U'benkach u'benkach yehei maziko behezek re'ia. And in the meantime, in the interim period, there's no wall, right? And there'll be further Hezekiah. Okay, let's stop here for a minute and think about this. So actually, the Ramban says something. This is the Ramban that the Nebuka Yosef is quoting. You'll see in the end of the piece, he quotes the Ramban more explicitly. So this is a very interesting idea. Meaning, when we said before that it won't last, that it won't stand, and I said, well, is that really true? The answer is yes and no. In other words, it's not a stable wall or stable enough. It's not a wall that, is de facto, let's say, reliable. right? It's a wall that, you know, is standing now. You know, it's not going to fall. I guess there are three types of walls, you know, but there's a wall, you know, that, you know, that's built very sturdily, and there's no reason to think it's going to fall down. I mean, again, if there's an earthquake or a tornado or, you know, or a bulldozer, otherwise this wall is, you know, it's basically going to stay. Then there's a wall which is just waiting to fall, and it's there, and it blocks your vision. You don't know when it's going to fall, but you look at it, it's just, it's a flimsy wall. It's, you know, it's, you know, you wouldn't, it's an impending, you know, wreck. And then there's something in between where clearly this is not a permanent wall, you know, or clearly you can envision, you know, its weaknesses are apparent. And if its impermanence is clear, but it's also not, you know, an impending disaster either. What do you need for Hezekiah? So here what I'd like to just show very quickly, and then I'll show you a little, take a few more minutes to show you in each of the Rishonim. I think that there are really three issues here. And each one, you know, is independent, but they also overlap a little bit. The first issue is how much of a remedy, you know, how long-term a remedy do you require? Right? In terms of the problem. And let me say it this way. If there was no, I think this is totally true. Let's say there was, let's say two people, you know, just bought a property and it had a wall in between. Well, let's say it was a very flimsy wall. Are they obligated, you know, when they acquire the property to you know, bolster the wall? I'm not sure. I mean, my halachic intuition says to me, no. When the wall falls down, then they're obligated to build a proper wall. But if they start out, if there's a wall there, right, before there's an issue, and that wall precludes the invasion of privacy, I wouldn't say that's, here's my chiluk. I wouldn't say that's a remedy or a solution. But what I would say is there's no problem because these people just became neighbors. From the very moment that they became neighbors, there was no, there was a barrier that protected them. It's not going to protect them for long, but there's no violation. There's no problem. There's no need for a remedy. It's not a remedy. It's not a long-term solution, this wall, right? But there's also no problem. However, once there is a problem that needs a remedy, then this difference perhaps between a proper remedy, right, and simply going back to a period of time when there's no problem, right? Once there's a defined problem and the need for a solution, you can no longer get away, you know, with simply neutralizing the problem. However, I still think that there are three considerations on the table. The first one is what the Ramban refers to here. And that is, the argument is, like, why not? We'll go back to what I just said. Why not anytime, you know, if I'm correct in what I'm saying, which is that, and there's no Gemara about it, we just don't know. I'm not sure if the post can speak about it. Somebody might probably speaks about it somewhere. It's not an explicit case in Shulchan Aruch. But my instinct is very strong on this, namely, that if you, you know, you if there's a new reality between neighbors and there's a barrier, albeit a flimsy one, right, until something happens, there's no problem. So why can't, if there is a problem, why can't you solve the problem by the same? Right? So I think the answer is, why do you need a remedy, a solution? Why isn't it enough to, you know, to neutralize the problem? So answer number one is, because maybe we should be Roas HaNolad, you know, for the intervening period when this wall inevitably is going to fall down. And that's what the Ramban says in the words that we just read, right? Shema yipol v'yitzarech lihitatzei mimal b'vezdin v'benkach v'benkach yehi maziko v'hezek re'iya. But that's, of course, fascinating. It's not so obvious legally that that's an obligation. I mean, it's my obligation now to account for, you know, what might happen in 6 months or in 6 years, as long as it's a reasonable, reasonable scenario given the quality of the wall, says the Ramban, yes. In other words, Hezek Re'iyah isn't just about the moment. And here I'd like to just add what I've mentioned, you know, previously, which is that I think there are two implications for it. Not everybody agrees at this point, but there, I think, are two implications. One implication is that, you know, Hezek Re'iyah is a very serious problem and issue. Just because it's amorphous, just because it's a man damar Hezek Re'iyah lo shma Hezek, doesn't mean that, you know, according to our view that Hezek Re'iyah shma Hezek, that this isn't a very acute issue and problem. Remember, some Rishonim think it's like, or worse than Kutra and Beis HaKiseh, a toxic waste dump. So, worrying about what might happen in 6 months, as long as that's a legitimate worry, given the nature of the wall, the flimsy nature of the wall, right, becomes more reasonable, given that this is a very acute, a very toxic problem. And here I would say that to me, it's not a coincidence that the Ramban, who embraced the position of the Tshuvas HaRif, and who was one of the strongest formulations about how worse than a toxic waste dump Hezek Re'iyah is, that he's one of the Rishonim who's saying that even like a projected what will happen in 5 years or 6 months, even that needs a remedy. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, closely connected to it, is the issue of legitimate paranoia that we've spoken about. And that is, if, again, Hezek Re'iyah is like a very big, important quality of life issue, so, and people are very anxious about that kind of a thing. Part of what privacy is the reliance on it. Like if I'm always worried that the wall is going to blow away or fall down or whatever, right, that also inhibits and impedes me. It also imposes a psychological, toll in terms of anxiety and so on. So just like, I'll repeat what I've said in the past, just like the Gemara later on in the Testament Aleph says, maybe we should worry about the accusation or the concern about Sharshifa, meaning somebody, like maybe the guy will, he says, maybe the guy will drag a safsal and he'll climb up and he'll look into my yard, you know, even if the hayyad is okay. And last week we could discuss like, you know, why would somebody make a 6 amos wall if 4 amos does the trick, you know? So, you know, the halakha doesn't encourage paranoia. However, it has an acute, you know, understanding of psychology. And it understands that when it comes to a person's privacy, you know, if he's worried about it, then, you know, to a certain point, until you reach the Ein Lo Davar Sof part, which is extreme paranoia, you have to respect that. And you have to, respond to it. So I think that's what the Ramban is telling us here. The reason that we care about the quality of the material, the quality, the dimensions of the material, that this should be a long-term remedy, not just a neutralization of a present problem for as long as it lasts, is because of the nature of Hezek Re'iyah, per se, it's how, you know, acute a problem it is, and also how it has an anxiety or psychological, you know, dimension. Okay, that's one. We're going to try to show going forward, because I think there are two other perspectives. The second perspective, we'll see in a moment, is a financial one. And that is, I mean, the one I've just described in the Ramban is it's an internal Hezek Re'iyah one. It's not enough to solve the Hezek Re'iyah problem in the moment. You have to kind of, you know, completely address the anxiety and the future of Hezek Re'iyah. That's what the Ramban wants. The second perspective is financial, meaning you're asking two people to invest in a wall, right? You're asking them for money. So that has a certain momentum, you know, in its own right. Meaning, if one of the parties says, listen, I don't want to be dragged back to court every 6 months, frankly, or every 6 years. I don't want the headache. I don't want the, you know, additional financial burden. I would rather, you know, do this properly than do this shoddily, you know, and have it solved once and for all. So even though we're going about this because of Hilchas Shechinim and Hilchas Re'iyah, in the end of the day, as an investor, you know, as somebody who is paying, I have rights to protect, you know, my financial position here. So it's nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah anymore. Hezek Re'iyah would be solved by a flimsy wall, anything that's, you know, that neutralizes, you know, the actual physical gazing into your property. It would all work. But once there is tashlumin, then it becomes a hilchos toin v'nitan issue. And from that point of view, everybody has the right to be reasonably protected. And we're going to see in a minute that's what the Rajba, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rush, we'll see, that's what they emphasize. And then there's a third perspective, which I'm going to try to show. And that is nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah, the future of Hezek Re'iyah, maybe not even a financial consideration. But there is, again, a certain reality. When you build something, right, and especially because you built it in order, you know, to placate or to enhance harmony on the border, right? So other, what we'll call hilchos shcheinim considerations come into play. And if we're going to build something already, forget about coming back to court. You know, maybe we need to build it to code or to the aesthetic standards of the community, or I have some other consideration if we're building it already. That consideration has nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah, maybe has nothing to do with the financial part per se either. Doesn't matter. Really what we're talking about, and I think this does go back to Hezek Re'iyah, Hezek Re'iyah is a function of neighborly, harmonious living. And therefore, that's the general mechayif here. Even if technically it's no longer about Hezek Re'iyah, the solution or remedy of Hezek Re'iyah includes the consideration of facilitating, right, a harmonious neighborly experience. And that, you know, can end up, you know, requiring or mandating, you know, certain standards that have nothing to do, you know, either with future Hezek Re'iyah or even with, you know, the amount of money that you're paying. Okay, those are the three things I'm going to try to show. Good. So let's continue with the Nimuke Yosef for a minute. The Nimuke Yosef so far just working with the Ramban. Okay. You know what? I'm going to move away from the Nimuke Yosef for a minute. I'm going to get back to it in a couple of minutes. Let's move instead to the Rush. The Rush is on page 2. The Rush, I think, is a great example of the financial part. So the Rush here says, Simon Hay, everybody have it on page 2?
Line 14, 15.
Okay, thank you. So, Hakol Kamina Gamadina, Kol Asuye, Mai Lasuye, Suye, Asra, Denig, Bhutsavda, Hikshar Benuta, Mai Boy Lasuye, Lema Lasuye, Kolamakomus, Kvimashinog. Same question. Why don't we just say, we'll look up them in a local minute? Appears to us a lashmina, dafka hutzavadafna the ktsas koshuvu, at least hutzavadafna has a little bit of stature, aval imnoga bapachos minik shtusu, anything less than that is minik shtusu, even though it's a barrier. Below of dinan lay, chemash malosh and hakalasuya mai kalomar, Eza davar ra'ui lemechitza. Ah, this is interesting. What's considered legally worthy of a mechitza, right? Chutz me'osam ha'mufarashim b'mishnah, aside from the things that are explicit in the Mishnah, v'ka'amar la'asuyeh b'asur d'nehigi hutza v'dafna, avzeh nami karui mechitza b'mokom shenagubo. It barely qualifies as a mechitza, right, in a place where it is acceptable, but it does. Avapokos mikan ein roi lemechitza afim nagubo. But in a place where they accept even a smaller standard, we don't say, oh, for them, this is a mechitza. Even for them, it's not a mechitza. Kagon, im nagu lachlok b'machtzolos, right? Kofeu, we force him, lasos behutza v'dafna. Okay. The question is, why do you need a mechitza? This is not ohalos. It's not kilayim. It's not hilchos Shabbos. It's not sukkah. All we need to do is make sure that something is blocking you, thereby protecting your neighbor. So what is the din? It's fascinating that the Rush says that lesson, hutza v'dafna, even b'malkam shenagubo, ein nikra, ein karui mechitza. Who cares? Karui mechitza is a formal designation. Right? Ah, so obviously what the Rush has in mind is that even what I said before, which is even though the neutralization of the problem doesn't require a mechitza, apparently a remedy, a solution to the problem, not just the problem going away, right? But not obviating the problem, but solving the problem, remedying the problem, that does require a mechitza. Why? We'll see in a moment. But this one becomes highlighted by the following issue that the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, the Rush all discuss. Yeshem Farshin, Hodekaifa Adadi Livnos Kosel Shongvil Gazis, Bakol Kemedina Minaga Medina, this whole Mishnah, Hainu Dafke Kishamidim HaKosel Al Karka Shel Shnea. Right? Ve'ein Echon Mehem, Rotzalios Konet Betok Shalom Livnos Bishalom. The case of the Mishnah, everything we've been speaking about, is what case? It's a case where they're building a wall between the two properties on common ground, a little bit from mine, a little bit from yours, right? It's smack in the middle, right? And so on. And the material, of course, is being split as well. So in that circumstances, listen to the Rush. Motzi kochad lemeimar, eini rotze levater karka v'lo livnos bebinyan, im lo bebinyan bar kayama. Each one says, listen, I'm investing money here. I'm investing space, property of mine. I'm investing actual cash to pay for the materials and the workmen and so on. I only want to pay, this is what I was talking about, this is the second perspective. Not the perspective that says, oh, what happens if it falls, then there'll be a period of time in which there'll be no protection from Hezekiah. That was the Ramban. Here we're talking about, if I'm going to pay, then I want to protect my investment. I don't want to keep paying, and I don't want to keep dragging back to court. I want a binyan shel kayama. But what will happen if the following takes place, right? Reuven and Shimon are supposed to build a wall on their common border. And and Reuven says, forget about it, I'm going to build it in my part. Does he have to build the wall according to the specifications of the Mishnah? Of course, he has to build a Dalet Amos. That's otherwise doesn't do anything. Does it make a difference? If they're building together, that's the classic case. Let's say they're not building together. Let's say Reuven is unilaterally building in his own, inside his property. He's going to build the wall himself. He's going to pay for the wall. Can Shimon say, that's not acceptable to me? We have to build it together because I want the following materials, the following dimensions, like the Mishnah? im ratza echad lichnos betok shalo velasas mechitza betok shalo, right? Behutza v'dafna, kivin shemisalek hezik riyah mechaveh rodayo. So the Yeshua Farsim said, and the language is great. They said, listen, does it neutralize the problem of Hezekiah? Sure. Because now there's protection. So why do we care about the materials, the dimensions, etc.? Right? And that's the language, very important. Misale kezekriya mechavero dayo. When you build a wall at the border and it's a joint undertaking, it's not enough to be misale kezekriya. You have to build a proper kosel shel kayama, right? Which, you know, is a proper investment. But if it's going to be unilateral, it's like the case I said before, you know, where two people, you know, bought a single property, or let's say two children yarshined a property, and there's a flimsy wall between the parcels. Nobody thinks that you have that. That's no good. At least I don't think anybody thinks that. So listen to the raya, teda. When there's mutual or reciprocal hezekriya and a mutual or reciprocal obligation to build, that's when we have all these standards. What material, how thick the wall, by yisod shneim, it's being built on their property. Right, we had the case. Somebody opens up a roof, a window in his roof, into the neighboring courtyard. So there, Balagag Levado Chayev Lasos Maka. Right? He's the only offender, the aggressor. He's the only one who has to pay and build a wall. How come in that brisa we don't all of a sudden find, oh, it has to be this material, it has to be this thickness? We don't find any of those details. Just build a wall. Says the Rosh, Lahuska Sham Binyan Abanim Levanim, Ela Osamaka Kimosha Yirtza. Right? He can make it whatever he wants. Bein Levanim, Bein Dutz of Adafna, the Kamara. The only thing we care about is that it should be Dalet Amos high, because otherwise it doesn't solve the issue. You have a Rishus HaRabim in between, and you have two homes that can see, you know, in each other's homes or roofs or decks across from Rishus HaRabim. So each one is supposed to build a maka. Delo nichalei, de titra ishtai, right? Anyway, there's a certain gemara there. De mashma bebinyan avonim, umach v'dal agag, lo mitar eschiyuv, omer chen, elav yishen rotza livnos b'shalom, v'hutza v'dafna, shem miskayem es man meruba, kasha levetroach tamid bebinyan mechitza. Anyways, so this first daya says that all these requirements, all this detail, all this nitty-gritty insistence upon, you know, specifications only applies when the two of them are building the wall jointly. But if one guy wants to take the initiative and build in his own section, he can do it any way he wants. Right? Why? I think that Shita will tell you. Because in that circumstance, you don't need a remedy. He's basically saying, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to go back to making sure there's no problem. You only need a remedy when each one is obligated and they're joint and they're building together. The Yesh Mefarshim, those who disagree and say, Afilo im rotza lichnos atok shalo, even if he wants to build in his own property, the ligdor behutza v'dafna chaveiro ma'akev alav. Says, no. even if he wants to build it his own property, the other guy can say to him, no, I'm not allowing you to take to solve the problem, or not solve the problem, to, you know, preclude the problem with a flimsy fence. This is not a mechitza shel kayama. That's derech litzok alecha tamid kishetipa la mechitza the salik me'alai hezek re'iyasecha. If it falls down, I'm going to have to be back and do this all over again. It's worth it for me to pay and to build it half on my property to solve the problem once and for all, rather than, you know, go back to the point where there is no problem, but where I'm anticipating a future problem. Very interesting argument, right? Says the Rush, V'nira k'perusha kama. Says, I think the first pshat is correct, that if the person's doing it unilaterally, then, you know, it's not the other guy's business, and he no longer can be ma'ake. Shlo nitnu chachamim gvul, the kitzva, very interesting argument. L'mi shiyeshva l'sale kazeko mechabero, shiyasa davar kayim l'doro doros. The Rosh says, what? He's obligated to solve the problem permanently, forever? It should be enough that he's solving the problem now. If there's a problem in the future, you can always go back to court. This is the Rush. So it's interesting. It really breaks down a little bit. Well, yes and no, in what we spoke about the first two possibilities. I mean, the Rush says like this: why there's these standards. Why can't anything work that blocks my vision? The answer is for financial reasons. I don't want to keep paying. I'll write you another check, another check, another check. I'd rather we both each write one robust check and take care of this problem than, you know, nickel and dime this problem again and again and again and again. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to be more annoying, whatever it is. But I only have the right to do that if I'm paying. If he's bearing the full cost, how can I say to him, that's not acceptable to me? Let him solve it. That's not a solution. You know, that's just going back to the point where there's no problem. Great. What's wrong with that? If I'm paying, I have the right to be protected. But I think the Ramban might disagree. I'm not sure. The Ramban might say, listen, the issue is, once there's has a griya issue between them, and that has psychological repercussions, or maybe it isn't just solved in a moment. I mean, the Rush says, what, there are no judges in the future? There are not going to be any lawyers? Every solution has to be a permanent solution. There's a difference between a permanent solution, you know, and just kicking the can down the road, right? There are gradations in these things. I said before, there are walls that are, you know, with impending, you know, collapse. You know, they're just there. You know, it's shocking they're still there. There are ones that are, you know, a permanent problem, and there are ones that are, you know, not a problem, but they, you know, we anticipate that, you know, you could probably do better. You could fortify it more. So this is a very interesting argument. Now, the Rajba and Rabbeinu Yonah also discuss this question. And there's another interesting wrinkle, I guess, in their treatment of it. Just look at Rabbeinu Yonah for a minute.
Rabbi Rosenzweig?
Yeah. What? Back on page one. You're echoing.
What about it? What about it? You're echoing.
Okay, sorry.
Ooh. Are you okay? I hope that's just his computer.
Got one of the phones off.
What's that?
He has two phones on. Shut one off.
Oh, okay. Is he back? Oops.
No. Yeah. Okay, I'm out of commission because I can't. Okay, forget about it. Okay.
I withdraw.
I withdraw.
Okay, we look forward to hearing your question at the right time. Okay, so let's look at the Vidyona for a minute. Is it me now, or we're good? Okay, so good. Rabbeinu Yonah is very interesting. Two issues in Rabbeinu Yonah. The first issue is something that is very intriguing. Malkum Shinogu Livnos Gvil Gazes Kvisim Levenim Bonim, etc. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Pirush Malkum Shinogu Ashutfin Livnos Beemtza Gvil Gazes. Dumi Hadiktani Lekama Malkum Shinogu Ligdar. The Ein Adavar Talui Bibinyane Ha'ir. Kiafa bishakol binyane air begvila begazis, ein im ein minig yadu al binyan kosal ashutfim ein echad yachal lachu fliton gazis nivne elabona bekvisim obelavin. The first issue is this: I don't believe it completely, but a lot of the achronim assume that Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, they're all referring to the Ramban. I don't think the Ramban meant this, but whatever it is, they're definitely referring to somebody. There is a Rishon, maybe the Ramban, who says that when we say Hakol Kamina Gamedina, what do we mean? Do we mean Kamina Gamedina to build a fence between former partners or on Chatzar? Do we mean the building codes of the community more generally? Right? So they think that the Ramban or somebody says that, you know, the Hakol Kamina Gamedina is about broader codes for building. And Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba and the others say that's ridiculous. You know, this should only, all we should care about is what people do in these circumstances. When they build a fence, you know, separating two chatzeros. We shouldn't care about anything more than that. So if the Ramban really holds that way, or whoever it is that they're talking about holds that way, it's a great example that this whole issue, according to some Rishonim, began with Hezek Re'iya, but it goes way beyond, it's transcended. Because in Hezek Re'iya, we don't care what the building practices of the larger community are. All we care is, you know, what's the expected separation barrier in a chatzer, which is where the Hezek Re'iya takes place. So that's first point. In this, Rabbeinu Yonah is not mechudash. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying what is normative and what is reasonable. If it's true that there's a Rishon who disagrees, that Rishon is telling us that what starts with Hezek Re'iya ends up imposing an obligation, b'torah Shechenin. Now we're both members, we live in Forest Hills Gardens or whatever it is. So we've got to, everything has to comply with the, you know, with the codes there, the colors and the heights and the whatever it is. Yeah, that's part of being a part of that community. Okay, maybe Jamaica States too. I don't know.
No, we actually can park on our streets here.
Yeah.
As opposed to Forest Hills Gardens. Yeah.
And you don't get those fancy, you know, street signs either.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So, good. So that's the first point. That's a really interesting issue. If the code had nothing to do with the circumstances, but it was a neighborhood thing. Okay, next. On the next point, the Rabbeinu Yonah gets the same thing that the Rush spoke about. Rabbeinu Yonah's earlier. Bigvil Zenos and Gimel Tvachim Hani Shiuri Lava Minhagat Nan Lahu El Shiuri Chachamim Pain. The Bemakum Shinogu Bigvil Kofin Balkorcha Bigvil Rachavav Afilah Nogu Livnos Bigvil Hey Odalid the Hachi Kibler Rabbanan the Kol Gova Dalid Amosi Is Putya if there's a width Kihai Shiura Koi Below Lo Koi it won't stand. Zaykin Nami Bigamara Mihadistan Kvisin Zenos and Tzvachayim, Shmamina Bilabenim Yavi Tefach, because I know the Medim Shirei Chachamim Hain, the Kulam Asisim B'Shein Echem Mehem Rotze, Lichnos B'Tov Shelo, B'Livnos B'Tov Shelo. This is the Shita that the Rush was quoting. That's if they agreed to build the wall together on common, on property common to both of them, and they're both paying for it. So then each one, right, has the right to say, you know, it's got to be built according to certain standards. Right? To me, Kafina Livnos Kosa Beemta Begazi Solbilabanim, Bainechad Yacholomar, Nivna Behuta Vedafna. You can't say, oh, one of them can't say, I'm willing to, you know, put in my investment, but for the cheaper material. Shachaver Omala Lo Asaye Mach Bahotza. I don't agree. I'm not going to pay for the cheaper one. Velo Etin Chelik Mekarka. And I'm not going to give my part of the karka for that kind of flimsier structure either. But if one of them is going to solve the problem on his own, inside his own border, right? He's saying, listen, we have Hezekiah. I'll take care of it. I'll neutralize it. Teda. The only time that we have, interesting. So the Rush really emphasizes mostly that both of them are paying, and therefore each one of them has the right to insist upon the standards that will protect his investment, that he would have to keep paying again and again out of annoyance, out of finances, etc. Interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah is emphasizing more that the only time that we have these standards is b'makom shemagia l'shneim hezekriya, when each one is damaging the other. But if it's unilateral damage, right? You have, as we said, somebody who has a roof near the other guy's courtyard. He can make whatever he wants. Osamaka Gavoa Dalidamos. Oh. So the question is, Vahodarmin Beinyan Shnei Gagin Vishnei Tsidur Shisarabim, Lonicha de Titra Eshisai. Okay, that only we will leave that for another time. Okay. The Rajba quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah and disagrees, but he quotes it a little bit differently. So look at the Rajba for a minute. And then I want to talk about the Mukhe Yosef, and then we're done. Chidush HaRajba, that's towards the bottom of the page, page 2. Okay. Hakol Kaminag Amadina, Yeshomen Kaminag Binyane Ha'ir.
Line 37.
So he's working off of Rabbeinu Yonah, you can really always see it. Yeshomen Kaminag Binyane Ha'ir. Again, they accuse somebody, maybe the Ramban, of saying that the standards are binyane ha'ir, not binyane chatzer or chatzer shutfim. Davar shel tema, he says, doesn't make any sense. Heich natrik kosel chazak dalet amos. Some people, you know, insist on a thick wall of 4 amos, not height, thickness. Vasuim l'salek hezekriya bovad. So why would you need that for hezekriya? The thickness of the wall is irrelevant as long as it stands. In the community, you know, they want to make sure that it can sustain, it can hold the walls and the roof. You know, they want to build it to code. But that's not what this wall is about. It's an outside wall, you know, in the back to split off their backyards from each other.
Okay.
Kiramin remember the begaz is called Dalin Amas Begova. You have a hate tvachim koi, low koi. And misa my karma called Dalin Begova. The Duma Begova Dalin Bebotsa Mehachasagi. El Shekain Noga Lassas Bimidyani Ha'ir. Shein Koslin Gavoin. Umishim Dalo Kaimer Bebotsa Mehachin. The big, big walls of the city. It's a different story. Kivid Gvoin. The Kivid Binyani Ha'ir. Shein Koslin Gvoin. Sorry, Chamisha. It's three kukach. Feel because of Zesh Azakriya. I feel Tim Salomar, D Lab, the Lokoya, I feel the Begovadal Rama, so you must speak and also Kosashal Hezekria. Afa Bishatar Glasses came because they are ear. Af Unnumer, Dafa Bishanogulasses, been in the Kazakh, Kosa, ear and Gvoim, the Kosashal Dal Rama Sanamuch, Lola Fishena Tarakh. Okay. And again, that's the first issue. Then he gets to the second press question. Move to just 1 second. Don't tell me I think I'm the right part. Oh, I'm sorry. Odye, look on page 3 now. Odye Shmiravusa Shapirish Tikulam Asisim B'Shein Echon Rotsa Lichnos V'Tov Shalom. Right? The Rabbeinu Yonah said that maybe the mission only applies when they're building it on the common border. Shechaber omel alo asayeya imcha, I won't join you. Elim kei nivna ki binyane ha'ir o ashutfin. Aval imrat alichnos betosh shalom, but if Reuven wants to build it in his part of the property, kones, ubona, kimoshi yirtzi, he can build it any way he wants, afilo behutza v'dafna. Teda, shalo huskar chiyuv binyan abanim olaveinim, elim b'mokam shebonim be'emtza. Now notice when the Rabbeinu Yonah said it, he said, Ela b'mokom shemazikin ze ezeh. When the Rajba quotes it, he says, it's b'mokom shebonin be'emtza. Aval b'zman shezebona, the zebona, right? If they're both building, but not be'emtza, Kagon Shnei Gagim Bishnei Tside Rishus Harabim, Inami Gaga Soma Klakatu Chavero, Lahuskar Sham Elamakam, Dimash Makoldehu. So, what bothered the, why did the Rajba change it? So, the people who wrote the footnotes correctly pointed out there are two cases in the Gemara. One case is where you have a Gag, and my Gag looks into your Chatzer, right? So, that's a unilateral, I'm damaging you. Right? And we don't have a common border either. My God is in my territory. But the other case that they're talking about is a case where you have two homes that are across from each other in an elevation, and there's a Rosh Hasharabim in the middle. And they can see across the Rosh Hasharabim, they can see into each other's property, and then each one is obligated to make a maka. There too, the mission doesn't say what kind of maka, this material, that material, this dimension, that doesn't say it. But that's not a case where they're building on a common border, right? Each one is building himself. They're not building together. And therefore, it's different. But if you were to emphasize what Rabbeinu Yonah emphasized, which is that each one is damaging each other, then the case across the big thoroughfare is like the case of the courtyard. Everybody with me? There are three cases. Okay? We're really discussing the case of the Mishnah, where two people owned a courtyard. Now they split it. So now they're adjacent to each other in the courtyard and they're going to build a wall. That's a case where they're building together and they're also damaging reciprocally. That's one case. And that's the case we're talking about. There are two other cases. One case is Reuven builds a window in his home that can see into the courtyard of Shimon. It's not on the border, right? And it's also only unilateral. Only one side is damaging the other. So those cases are very different, no matter what. But there's one more case. Reuven and Shimon live across from each other, and there's a Rosh Hasharabim in the middle. Queens Boulevard, you know, is in the middle of their apartments look into each other, right, across Queens Boulevard. Okay? There, too, the Mishnah doesn't say Levanim or Gvilin or Chutzav Adafna or how many Tfachim it has to be. So for Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us that it depends on whether it's a unilateral damage or a collective damage, right? Shouldn't the case of the Queens Boulevard case be like the Chatzar case? Different than the Gag case? So that's probably why the Rajba, when he quotes it, instead of emphasizing the mutuality or lack of, or unilateral damage, instead emphasizes, are they building together or is each one building separately? In the Queens Boulevard case, each one's building separately. There's a whole Queens Boulevard that intervenes in between the two apartments. Right? Oh, so I just want to make the following point. What does Rabbeinu Yonah think? The answer is Rabbeinu Yonah will tell you that when two people are damaging each other, right, across a thoroughfare, that's not the same as when two people, you know, are at the border and they need a wall to separate themselves. It's true that each one is damaging the other across Queens Boulevard, but that's not mutual damage. Each one is damaging the other. Each one is sitting in his home. There's no border. Their problem isn't that they don't have enough to separate their private domains. The problem is that each of their private domains is vulnerable. In other words, to say it in a different way, what Rabbeinu Yonah really is probably trying to say is that the problem and the reason we have all these standards, instead of just saying, put something there so they can't see each other, right, is because good fences, good neighbors. On the border, they're actual shkenim. For that, you require a proper remedy. It's not enough to take away the problem now. Once there's a problem, we need more than to negate the problem. We need a solution, a remedy, and we need something that will restore or facilitate future harmony between the shkenim. In the case of two people opposite, you know, each other across a massive thoroughfare, there's a problem. Each one is vulnerable, you know, to the gazing of the other, but they don't have a common border. They're not neighbors in a real sense. They don't interact at all. They're not interacting on a common border. How come Rabbeinu Yonah said that, you know, if it's unilateral versus reciprocal damage? I think what he meant was, if we're on the same border, then we're damaging each other. It's not that I'm damaging you and you're damaging me. There's common damage. If I happen to be damaging you and you happen to be damaging me, but it's two different acts of mazik. I'm mazik you and you're mazik me. Not a coincidence. But legally, it's two different ideas. The need to standardize and to elevate or enhance the remedy, not just to solve the problem, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is a din of hashkenim. According to the Rajba, it's more of a mutual financial, you know, issue. It depends, are they both investing in the wall together? Are they each one solving, you know, unilaterally the problem? Okay? Good. Now let me just go back to final point in Nimukayos. I'm sorry, it took long, but okay, we'll do the next. We'll start with Gimel Menalef next time. So Nimukayos says an amazing thing in the name of the Ra'ah on the end of the piece. Let's go back to page one. And I wanted to show you the Taz, and you'll see just the Makom HaPatish to what we're talking about. So here on page one, back in the Nemukah Yosef, if you could pick up from the line here. Yeah. V'hara'ah Mosif Badvarin.
Line 16.
16? Listen to this. Hara'a Mosef Badvarim. Da'afila ba'lichnos betok shalo. Even if the guy wants to build in his own, same issue, Reuven wants to take a step back, build in his own property, not jointly, pay for it all with his own money, right? And he wants to build Gvil, Gazis. He wants to build whatever material he wants to build, less than Minaga Medina. The neighbor can say, no, I insist that we both pay together and that we build on the border. Why? If you take a step back and you build in your own property, right, obviating the problem, lo yehe li rishus lismo chalav, then I wouldn't have the right to lean my ladder or whatever on the common fence. Therefore, I insist, if we have to solve this problem, that we jointly pay for a border wall rather than you neutralize the, you know, initial stimulus of the problem, you know, but then I don't get the benefit of a joint wall. The benefits of the joint wall have nothing to do with what instigated the need for the wall, correct? His agria. Why are we building a wall? Because it's a privacy problem. Now, one of them is saying, well, if we're going to build it already, I want the benefit of being able to lean my ladder on it or whatever. Gets even better. Let's say Reuven says, listen, okay, I mean, I still want to build it from what I want to build it. But, you know, if you want, you can lean your ladder on my property, on my wall. Matzi Amalei could say to him, listen, even mecher lo be'ina, if you want me to pay for that, right, I don't want to pay. Lo be'ina hashta lemizban. Iba matana, if you're giving me this as a, you know, freebie, lo nichali, I'm not interested. Dixiv esoni matanos yichya. I don't want your charity. I want to be able to lean on the wall, you know, because it's my right, not because you're doing me a favor. Wow. Uminashem kinem v'kinem sabana b'tov shalom eni yachal l'tvo mechaberu chatzi hotza osav, and so on. Okay, obviously he also can't force him to pay half the amount, even if he put it in his own property, etc. So this comment of the Ra'ah is very striking. Reuven can't decide to turn back the clock, create a situation where there's no problem in his own property because Shimon insists that they both pay for a border wall because he insists that he has to be able to lean against the wall. He has to be able to use the wall. How far have we come from the problem of Hezekiah? So look for a minute at the Taz. Is on page 3. Yeah. Everybody have it?
Line 32.
Simen Kuf Nun Zayin. Od Sham. Im Noagu Livnos Bebechitza Kala. Yeah, so they quote, the Ramah quotes this Ra'ah. That if Reuven wants to build a lesser law wall, but within his own property, Shimon can be ma'akev and say, no, I don't agree because I want to lean against the wall. Tmuin alai devar, says the Taz. I find this astonishing. Hey mitzad makoran shol dvarim duhu hara'ah b'nemuk Yosef perikam in the Basra. you know, both in terms of the Ra'ah quoted in the Nemukei Yosef, he mitzad hete karama, that it's quoted in the Ramah. Behu da Ra'ah kasav shimbo linog, right, livnos kosel avanim. If the minhag was to build a stone wall on the border, v'amar echad evnatoch shali, and one of the fellows said, I'm not going to build such a heavy wall. I'll build it in my property. The evna kosel shall levenim probably should be. Hasheni mochabi. I know the other guy can object. Sheyachalam ani rotsa v'kosel sheuchal lismoch alav. Afagav da'ata rotsa lasses li rishus lismoch. Even though you want to give me the right to lean on it. Mikomakom lo nichal elikach matans. Kaida simin kufayinal. Tamuali, now the Taz is talking. The shiny sim in Kufa and Aleph, because of Shem Badin Chaluka, the Ainu Dalana. I don't want to get into the story there, but it's a chotzer where really, when you divide it up, it's not really two separate sections, so it's a different kind of Chaluka. Rotsa Echad Lachlok, Velasis Lachaber Dalanamos, Hazal Korchach, Shazatzarik Lishtamish, Bechala Dalanamos, Vyachalamba Lanicha Lilihonis, Mishal Chaveri, Vimatan, I want my full Dalanamos. Okay, no Achlok Veshtameshima. Says the Taz. He says, listen, the only issue here is to get rid of this, to neutralize the original problem. Take care so there's no longer Hezek Re'iyah. The Kimon Shabona Mishalo, if he's building a wall and the guy can't see anymore, Masalik Mikoso Shalavana Miyem Chabiyado, what more do you want from him? He's obligated to give the other guy the right to lean on the wall. Where did that come from? If it's a joint wall, then they both put in their money. Of course he can do that. But it's not my obligation. It's not coming to him. It's strange. Where did he get this right? No one ever said, oh, well, you're building a wall for Hezek Re'iyah, so then you have to give each other other rights too. Ela b'shvil Hezek Re'iyah. Haga atzmacha, he says. Listen. Im halav zem mechad zero. Ve'ena rosa lishtam isham kla. V'chiyacha lachufa livno sima mechitza. Let's say Reuven and Shimon split up their partnership in the chatzer, and Reuven said, I'm going away and I'm never coming back, even though I own the thing, I'm never going to be here ever again. Does he have to build a wall? Because Shimon will say, I want to build the wall anyway because I want to use it to be somech my koros. I can lean things against it. No, all you have to do is make sure there's no Hezek Re'iyah. Hachanami dikavasek, kivin shabona, hefsek, kosel, umasalek Hezek Re'iyah mimenorev ki iloeno darsham. It's like saying, I'm not living there anymore. Vim kozani tema la ramabaze, dara ala paskal adin. The Taz doesn't answer the question, but it's a really good question, and it highlights things that we've been discussing the whole shiur, which is, if you can solve the Hezek Re'iyah problem, Why are there so many other complications here? How thick is the wall? What material is the wall? Right? Now it's, I insist on being able to, you know, to be able to lean things again, to get benefit from the wall. Like this wall became it took on a life of its own. But what I do think the answer is, it goes back to the three suggestions that I made. Which is all this detail, all this nitty gritty for a wall that's just supposed to solve a simple problem, to block, you know, the other person's vision. The answer is no, because the whole specter, the fear of Hezek Re'iyah, you know, has its own momentum. You know, once it's an issue and a problem, you need to remedy it. You really need to uproot it. Psychologically and otherwise. Or if you have to worry about the temporary, what will be in the interim, that's the Ramban. Second point, once there's need for a remedy, right, it's a financial aspect and there are rights. Everybody has rights. Everybody has the right to say, listen, you know, if I'm going to invest, I want to do it in a way that is feasible, is reasonable, etc. And then there's the third perspective, which says, it's true this all started off with Hezekiah, but why do we care so much about Hezekiah? Because of the responsibility that neighbors have to each other, right, to live harmoniously and to protect each other's interests. And when things happen at the border in particular, you know, that's a thornier, more problematic, you know, dilemma. And therefore, sometimes it requires a more harmonious, even if more complex, solution. So while this started off, according to the Ra'ah, as a Hezekiah problem, it kind of morphs, it evolves into a border problem. So because they need to make a, you know, some sort of an accommodation, you know, to protect each other's privacies, it becomes all part of a package, you know, deal to make sure that there's good quality of life, you know, good fences, good neighbors on the border. And that includes, notwithstanding the Taz's objection, according to the Ra'ah, you know, each person's right. Once they're going to solve the Hezekiah problem, then there's the right that there should be a wall there with everything that goes with it, in terms of the, you know, the shekinos aspects of it, and therefore, the other fellow can be ma'akim. So, you know, I insist on having the border wall, not just a unilateral wall inside your territory. Okay, so that is that's to finish that part off. Next week, we'll talk about the problem of what's known as when there is a chalukas hashutfas, what kind of, do you need a kinyan for that? What kind of kinyan? Does it matter what kind of shutfas it is? So that's going to be the Gemara and Gimel and Aleph. That's a whole other set of problems. We're finished with the Hezekiah things, and we'll pick up with some of the other first parak about Basra topics.